Well, good evening, and we'd like to welcome BBS Radio listeners, and thank you for coming to join us. This is the simulcast at the same time as conference call on Monday night. At this time, we're still having callers call in, and we want to thank everyone for showing up and appreciate what you do to help us all. Good evening, caller. Would you like to say your name and location?
My name is Carolyn, and I live in Chico, California.
Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Good to have you. Heiss is still working at this time, is my understanding, and he'll be with us sooner or later. Good evening, and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, Donna. It's Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
Good
evening,
Wynn. I'm glad you showed up, Wynn. We're working on the words wired and shocking.
Wired and shocking, huh?
Yeah. We're talking about heist.
Oh.
John from Las Vegas.
Hey, welcome to the call.
Hi.
Good evening. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Number three.
Three Marylands tonight. All right.
Yes, we're lucky tonight. We have three Marylands.
We're lucky.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn. Hi, Donna.
Hey, girl. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location? Only if you want to. We've had other callers come in. Would you like to say your name and location? Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
It is Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hi,
welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. If you have a chance, you'd like to say your name and location, please do.
Hi, this is Joni in St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Gateway to the West.
Yes.
Michael in Camino, California.
I'm Michael.
Hello, Michael.
You're cutting out a little bit.
Hello. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else that'd like to say their name and location?
How about Wynn? Is Wynn here?
Yes, he is. He is here somewhere. He's probably
Terry.
Over in that corner. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry Brown.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
It's Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Hey, Roger Dodger.
What was that?
I said, hey, Roger Dodger.
I've been called worse. Thank you.
All right, the time is 7:04.
Okay, Wynn.
Or if you're on Pacific Coast time, it's 6:04.
Oh, that's right. I forgot there's an hour difference there.
Yes. And Sedona, Arizona is on Pacific time, although
it
it's in the mountain zone.
We never
right.
change. I never change my time.
Well,
yeah,
Arizona.
No
yeah, Arizona doesn't change.
Yeah. So it's confusing because everybody else does.
Yes. I agree, Terry, because Dave used to say, now, Mama, you're ahead of me now, you know?
Yeah, right.
Oh. Yeah, I'm on Central Standard Time. I never change my time.
I wish it was like that all over, but it isn't.
Yeah.
Where you live, does it always stay Central Standard?
Yeah. There's only 13 places that don't change that are Central Standard and don't change your time. Or 13 places that don't change your time.
We've had another caller come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yes, it's Jim in Sedona, and I wish you love, everyone, and happy health.
Well, welcome to the call, Jim. We're glad to have you, as always.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for your gift, sending us that.
Hi, hi.
Hi.
Okay. I'm not ready.
Sounds like when this helicopter is arriving.
is there a helicopter upstairs?
Yeah. There's a landing switch out of there.
Uh-huh. All right.
Ready. Have a good
one. All right. I'm going to start the recording, okay? I think. Hang on a second. Well, hi, looks like Hyde is here. Hyde, are you there? Hello, Hyde.
This conference is being recorded.
No, we haven't heard him yet.
Hello. I see him on the console.
Maybe he's listening in the background.
Yeah, it's probably a spy. It is June 15th, 2015. Smack in the middle of, is this January, February, March, April, May, June? This is not the middle of the year, is it? So June 31st is the middle of the year, right? This is just the middle of June. Lynn, Terry, and all of us, and, you know, I picked a topic tonight, which I don't like to talk about this kind of stuff. I really don't. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I'm aware of that I don't like to talk about, because the very first thing, the first priority for all of us, and many of you are doing this, is to be able to lift your vibration, connect with higher holograms, keep your heart open, and graduate this realm. Because in certain ways, that's more important than being alive here. Because it's like, you are going to die, we're all going to die. And the question is, it's not obvious to most people.
Nope.
And so life and death seems really like a critical thing, losing your body. Hang on a second. I'm going to mute everybody. Terry Friedman isn't here by any chance, is he? No. Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And if we can look at things philosophically. Let me mute all the dings of people coming in, okay? If we can look at things philosophically and or from the most cosmic perspective, this is one life in many, many lifetimes. And sometimes people say we get 1,000 lifetimes or more in this realm. And it's like one thing about life is keeping ourselves alive. And it's cool to be alive. It's very cool to get enough out of your own dilemmas to start looking at your life from this higher perspective. Because when you do, things don't seem scary. You can cope because you're going to move on. And anyone listening to these calls, I mean, it's pretty amazing how we don't just say, you move on and continue. We have evidence over and over again that that's true. we have Carla Ruckert coming back down from the higher realms saying, hi, she loves us. And we have people that have asked questions on our Wednesday call and have gotten messages from deceased loved ones or parents or something. And they oftentimes they email me or Cherry and they say, that was really them. And, you know, we didn't know it, but they said something that triggers that it really was. So, you know, the more we can move into this idea that life goes on and that death is not just a big deal, it's like transitioning from this level to another level. And, you know, in many cases, you don't skip a heartbeat. Because heartbeat is not the right word to use. It's just your awareness continues. And many, many times, Terry tells me that people, when they leave this realm, they still think they're here. They don't even know they're dead. We did a reading for someone who asked about his dog who died a while back ago. And he feels the dog is still with him. And they said in the meeting, well, the dog didn't know he was dead. And he was sleeping at the bottom of the bed. And that's a good way to have a dog. Say, you don't have to go out and walk it. You don't have to feed it. And you have your companion with you. We've had another situation like that with somebody had a dog that was just following them around everywhere, jumping in the car with them. So it's like we couldn't be making all this up. We couldn't be. Impossible. Any of you who keep listening, we need script writers working overtime to make this up. And so we continue. But we're still here. And we're in a physical world. And our physical world that we're in is in somewhat of jeopardy. Now, a lot of people don't want to look at this. A lot of New Age people talk about everything shifting and we're moving into a more loving space. And probably that's one of the options. But it's not necessarily what's going to happen. There are so many agendas here, and I study them because I want to understand it. And also, a lot of people are looking to us for some kind of guidance. And so I want to know everything that's going on to get the best guidance. And I do know that even when I ask our sources some of this stuff, they don't really want to say it. And they always look at, well, we don't want to say a worst-case outcome because it's still possible to have a best-case outcome. So, you know, that's all in the cards, but time is getting really short. And what triggered this me going into this topic today, was when I got an email from someone who was forwarding an email from a blog where a guy by the name of Benjamin Fulford, who used to be a financial analyst for Forbes magazine, was writing some fairly dire catalytic information about the economy. Now, for me, it's no big news that our economy is screwed up. It's been screwed up for a long time. And many people say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And if the economy blows, I sent this out today, if you read the email, but the essence of, and I sent Benjamin Fulford's article out, and if the economy blows, why is it that the economy has to blow. Why is it? And believe me, every word that I say here, I'm thinking, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope there's another way out. But bottom line is that our government, our Federal Reserve, has been printing money, probably in the trillions of dollars, and money that's not backed by gold or silver or anything. And we live in a world economy, and I don't believe there's any country on the planet that is printing money to the extent we are. And that means our money is getting less and less value. Because if you print money, it's not backed by anything. It's only backed by the belief in the people that think it's valuable. And when that belief falls apart, the money becomes valueless. And you have what could be called mass inflation. Now, I remember when I used to collect stamps when I was a kid, and there were all these German stamps in my stamp book, and they were like 20,000 marks, 200,000 marks, and the mark was like the dollar in Germany. It was the standard of currency, and Germany had this same situation where they were printing money, and eventually it became worthless. Now, I don't know how the government dealt with it. Obviously, it seems like Germany continued. People didn't starve, and not that I know of. And they recovered, and Germany is one of the more prosperous countries in the world now. But the theory is that this is going to be worse than the crash of 1929. And the reason I was not coming on the call right away is because when I wrote The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there were a number of predictions in it. And this was in 2002. And it wasn't quite obvious what was going to happen in 2002. All right? And, but I certainly made notes of the predictions and would say, let's see how this works. Okay? So I thought I could go through a couple of them, and then I would go through Benjamin Fulford's comment. Now, I'll tell you, I don't necessarily trust everything Benjamin Fulford says. I've been tracking him. He's one of those people that, did some things with David Wilcock. I don't trust everything that David Wilcock says, okay? I mean, it's very hard to put your trust in anyone. And I'm not even telling you to put your trust in me. I'm just telling you the information that's in front of me, and you can decide yourself if I'm drawing the correct conclusions, okay? But I'll read to you a couple of the prophecies, and I recommend getting the read. If you haven't gotten The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, we don't talk about it all that much at this point. We're busy with the Elohim, but we have the Rock Group participating with us. And, you know, there is one theory that I believe is partially true or maybe completely true, that there is interdimensional sources. And I would bet on the Rock Group, but some people think it's ETs, and it might be ETs, that there are positive ETs that are paying attention to us, that have kept nuclear weapons from going off. And I think that's possible. And that can modify certain things. And I think in many cases, it's the Rock Group that can do that. But keep in mind that it's the more people that are holding the energy, the more permission they have to do interventions. So in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, this was May 29th, 2002, coming through David Wilcock, again, we are here to tell you that there will be unexpected surprises that will overturn many of the more egregious scenarios now being bandied about your mainstream media. And that point cannot be overstressed. There are lines of distinction that can be crossed here, and it is related to the overall function of consciousness in humanity. Therefore, the best way that you can help is to try to be as consistent as you can in maintaining an atmosphere of love, joy, peace in your daily affairs. This, in turn, strengthens the collective human energy field and negotiates a greater flexibility of change for us to work with in our protective endeavors. Okay, so there's the rock group that are saying they are working for change, and they're working to protect us. But the greater the strength of the collective human energy field, the more they can do. So now, I don't know how strong the human collective energy field has gotten. It does feel like, in many ways, it's expanding. I know we are expanding. We're doing our Sunday healings, and we're just doing these calls. And you guys are holding yourselves together better and better. And so, but is that enough? How much are we? We're a drop in the ocean, okay? Our little group. So I'm sure it makes some difference, but it's probably not enough to turn the tide completely, or even turn the tide just a little bit. Then the next thing is the prophecy spoke of situations that would come where the rational mind completely breaks down in its ability to see a way out of the problems that humanity will be faced with. These times are here now. First, that's 2002, and here we are, 2015. Well, they're really here now. If you read what many thinkers are writing, especially in the alternative press, where a larger vision of the hidden occult politics is brought into view, it is very easy to log onto the feelings of desperation and to have that commitment taken upon itself. It is a commitment to suffering and to the negative path, indulging in material that is ultimately quite transient and draws you away from the core of your being. Okay, that's an important point, saying that do not focus on the negative. I think it's good to notice it. It's good to notice it. And it's good to consider, what would you do in a worst-case scenario? It's good to do that. Because if it does happen to be a worst-case scenario, you should have a plan in effect. And a certain going on with this excerpt, a certain degree of discernment is therefore very wise in what and how much is to be read. If you wish to maintain the highest state of balance and spiritual integrity, without such a discipline, the negative news can literally be overwhelming. As an energy transfer of sorts occurs between the writer and the recipient. We have spoken before of how humanity will, to a greater and greater degree, become infected, as it were, with a disease of fear. This is indeed a very tangible spiritual condition that is not easily rectified once it has taken deep roots into the subconscious mind. The negative elites have obviously fulfilled their biblically assigned job of ruling over the earth, meaning that the media sources you interact with, in that known as the mainstream, do have a propensity for great distortions towards fear and almost none of the inherent goodness of humanity and the existence of an ultimate being or a higher principle are in the ability for human faith to create miracles where only desperation had previously existed. And as was said, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, but see that you not be troubled. And, you know, I want to go back a sentence before. The ability for human faith to create miracles where only desperation had previously existed. And, you know, there's something that happened on Sunday, and that was there was a huge storm coming upon Albuquerque, New Mexico. And somebody called us that lived in Albuquerque and said, could we pray for that storm? And so we did. And Terry, do you want to share what happened? Are you there? Are you unmuted, Terry?
Yeah, I'm unmuted. Well, we didn't pray for this. Well, what it was, we called in the light, and then I went into meditation, and I could see the storm clouds and the intense anger, like a whole dark cloud, wall of dark cloud would form. And I directed to the places where the anger was. And I would just view the anger with the Elohim viewing the anger with me. And we'd view the anger, and the cloud would disperse, and another one would form. And then we'd view the anger, and then another area of anger would form with a dark cloud. We view the cloud, and then that would disperse. And when I went online and looked, the storm, right about the time she asked, or even a little before she called, the storm started to dissipate, and there was still flood warnings, but the storm, the thunderstorm warnings were withdrawn.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, human faith to create miracles. And we have seen that many times on these calls. And, you know, the thing about miracles, they're never on demand. I don't order the higher Elohim around. And I don't know all their criteria for coming in and doing something, because they have a criteria. But there have been a number of times that there was evidence that something happened that shouldn't have happened. It seemed to indicate that we were part of that change. And then sometimes things happen and we don't even know that we did it. I mean, how do we know if because we call in earthquake protection every Sunday, we actually stopped an earthquake? Because we don't know about earthquakes that are stopped. We only know about earthquakes that happen. So, but the indications are that we have helped prevent some earthquakes. So the idea of faith, of intention, of prayer to change things is real. And and the possibility of other side forces disabling a nuclear weapon so it doesn't go off is certainly possible. And so, as we said, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, but see that you not be troubled. The screaming cries of desperation are those of a virus that reaches a sudden oversaturation point where it spontaneously implodes within the host. Due to the forced exhaustion of its hunt for available sustenance, there are no economies left to be pillaged, no significant power grabs left to be actualized with the available resources, and the bottom line is plummeting much faster than anyone in said circles is willing to admit. The disease of fear is their own, as greater and greater degrees of wishful thinking must be invoked to offset the hard facts of the looming implosion that is already occurring in their entire structural framework. What are they talking about? They're talking about the negative, the structural framework of the negative, and a looming explosion in their framework. Soon this will be preeminently visible to you, even more so than at present. Then fear can be swept aside, and the healing can begin with the harbingers of a golden age becoming increasingly manifest. The bottom, in the case of the individual entity, let me start at the beginning. Tough love can be administered in situations where pathological and addictive behavior pattern has outlasted its usefulness. In the case of the individual entity, this often comes by hitting the bottom, as it were. The bottom represents a time where all options for continuing the addiction appear to have been exhausted. And in 12-step support group parlance, life has become unmanageable. It's the life structure of your current civilization, propped up on endless tirades of fiat currency available to touch of a finger and the rolling of the printing press. Just a moment. I lost my place. I'm sorry. The apparent chaos that you are now seeing is simply a form of molten liquefaction, a transitory phase leading to a greater degree of crystallization and perfection in what you call the future. Try not to let the heat of this catalyst burn you, but rather use it as your fuel to ascend along the spiraling line of light into higher and higher realms of awareness. This worldwide bottom will indeed have its financial and geopolitical repercussions. But as Jesus once spoke, see that you not be troubled. These are the times of the changing of the guard, the final overturning of the endless rehashing of the old ways in the favor of the adaptation of the new ways. Certain events help to administer the necessary medicine to the patient in order that his bottom may be facilitated with as little damage, not his bottom, this bottom, be facilitated with as little damage to the host as possible. And it is for this reason that the greater weight of probability rests in economic changes rather than massive annihilatory war scenarios. All one has to do is begin thinking clearly about these possibilities, and the degree of hopelessness that can emerge is almost overwhelming. See that you not be troubled when your faith is tested. The negative forces will attempt to scare you into balancing that regardless of the nature of ancient and trusted prophecies. Things have changed, and this time it really does mean alone. This time it really does mean doom. The most recent headline that David and others saw of this type actually stated quite nakedly, government says 12 million people will die in a nuclear war. Similarly, headlines from just a few days ago said, nuclear war is inevitable. Step back from this rhetoric and realize that what was known when said ancient prophecies were made, at the time of said prophecy, nuclear weapons had already been used in your sphere in anger in what you would call the past, namely between those civilizations of Atlantis and Rama. The possibility of more fearsome energy weapons were known to the chief prophets as well, as these war toys frequently emerge at the end of the cycle in a given third density world society. Okay, we are at the end of the cycle. And so what's happening is not abnormal. Thus, the protocol is exacting and well established in terms of how best to deal with these situations. And after the previous disasters involving the exploded planets of Maldek and Mars, your system has been privy to a far greater degree of very high-level protection and intervention than is typical for the end of a planetary cycle. This extra protection is designed to ensure that even under the most sudden and inexplicable twist of fate that could lead to such a problem, with the most subtle and inconspicuous beginnings, the appropriate action can and will be taken in advance to overturn these possibilities. Okay. So I think very few souls have a grasp of what will transpire in the future. Yet they will make all case.
Did we lose you?
Oh, wait. Yep, here we go. I got muted. Very few souls truly have a grasp of what will transpire in the future, yet they will make all put cases and claims to sway you in their mode of thinking. The most efficient framework in which you can make this choice is in consulting with your own inner silence, rather in the chatter of the outside world, as the death cries of a dysfunctional system become more screeching. And ask yourself where the love is at any moment, and the quicker and easier the transition will be. Okay, well, in any case, somewhere in here, it said that these changes are going to give the potential for more people to graduate this realm in the way and the manner that people love each other, support each other, and help each other through the changes. And so, in that sense, there's a good outcome from these kinds of changes we're talking about. And now I wanted to read that because I wanted to read Benjamin Fulford and the post that he sent out, which is kind of sets us up in a better place to be open to how to handle this possibility, okay? And this was on June 15th, 2015, and it's headlined, Will it be chaos or controlled implosion as the Western bubble bursts? The signs are undeniable that some sort of historic event is imminent. The latest economic news makes it certain that the Western financial system, as we know it, is about to end. The question is, will there be a controlled implosion followed by a phoenix-like revival, or will there be revolution, chaos, anarchy, bloodshed, and misery? The answer now lies in the hands of the military forces of the West, because the political world, especially in the United States, is dysfunctional. To understand how serious the situation is, please look at the following chart. And then he has a chart showing how much the debt has grown compared to the domestic gross domestic product. The chart shows about $80 trillion worth of financial problems in the United States that have no basis in the real world. During the Japanese bubble, I used a similar chart to show the bad debt in the banking system was worth 200 trillion yen at a time when the Japanese government was saying there was only 3 trillion worth of bad debt. Another way of putting it is the U.S. asset prices will have to fall by 80% before they hit the ground of reality. Japanese real estate prices fell 90% after the bubble burst. The American bubble is 49 times larger than the Japanese bubble was. It is not a question of if it will burst, but when. Denying reality does not make it go away. There is also evidence coming from indexes based in real-world transactions that cannot be manipulated by financial trickery. One is the Baltic Dry Index, the price of shipping goods, mostly raw materials like oil, metals, grains, etc. It is at a record low now. Another is the China Containerized Freight Index, which means the cost of shipping finished industrial goods out of China is also at a record low. Perhaps you have noticed that your email spam filter is now featuring more Chinese enterprises desperately seeking customers like Viagra or Nigerian scams. Clearly something big is about to happen in the world's markets. There are a lot of people figuring this out now. The American Association of Individual Investors showed that in May of this year, individual investors dropped the money they invested in shares to 57% from 67%. This is an outstanding dumping of over 10% of their shares in exchange for cash in just 1 month. The Greeks are also bailing out of the Greek banking system at a rate of over 500 million euros per day. This sort of thing is usually referred to as a bank run or as rats deserting a sinking ship. Insiders say the most likely candidate to play the role of Lehman Brothers in the upcoming event is...
Winfrey.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. As you were looking for the name.
There we go. The American Association of Individual Investors, insiders say the most likely candidate to play the role of Lehman Brothers in the upcoming crisis is Deutsche Bank, which had its S&P rating dropped to BBB+, which is lower than the AA- that Lehman had before it collapsed. Furthermore, Deutsche Bank's derivatives book has an... Now, I don't understand all this stuff, okay? I'm not a financial guy. But the bottom line is, he is... What does he say? The attempt to start World War III in the Ukraine has blown up in the face of the Khazarian mob because it prompted a Russian intelligence dump. Here is some more of the information sent to us by Russian intelligence in response to the recent Khazarian mafia attempts to portray Russia as a menace. This is a quote. We did not blow up the World Trade Center on 9/11 with W-54 Davy Crockett nuclear pits. We did not fail 350 commissioned W-54 Davy Crockett nuclear pits from the back door of Pantex, Texas, which were manufactured at the Hanford nuclear plant. We did not bring those stolen W-54 pits to Israel. We did not recondition them in Israel. And it was not us who brought these nuclear pits back through Houston, Texas, to be stored in various Israeli embassies, including the Israeli embassy in New York. And we did not take these nukes to the Twin Towers by using Israeli urban moving system. And so the Russians have been... Now, we don't know that those things happen. So the Russians...
Well, one of the things... Hello?
Yeah.
One of the things, I used to work across from the Israeli embassy in Los Angeles, and an interesting thing happened. Looking out the window, I saw a CIA helicopter landing on the roof, which was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they were moving these things there. In other words, the Russians are giving the Pentagon, White Hat, detailed, actionable intelligence about Khazarian mass murder inside the United States. So the Russians are saying they knew all these things, and they're saying they knew they knew. Of course, we don't know them because it's not in the newspapers. The Russians also say that the crash of the Malaysian Air Flight 17 was Vanguard, the Khazarian mob's corporate front, retaliation against both Germany and France in response to their plan to create European army and drive Vanguard criminals into Europe. It was also a reaction to Angela Merkel's and Francois Hollande's request to Ukrainian President Poroshenko to kick out Vanguard's representative Igor Kolomoisky, to fire him from his position as the governor of Semipropetrovsky County of Ukraine, and take from Kolomoisky's banks all of the government money in order to separate fake Vanguard's dollars and real dollars that the Ukrainian government has. In response, the Europeans, according to the Russians, one of the leaders of Khazarian mafia, Henry Kissinger, became extremely angry, saying that beautiful France can expect a regime overthrow. Okay, that was too much for me to understand and take in. Let's see here. I'm going to just scroll down. I sent this article out today, so you guys can look it over. I mean, the bottom line is that he is saying we are on the brink of a tremendous financial collapse, and that what do you need to do to be prepared for that? I said a couple of ideas out today. One of them was, I said, I would certainly store some food and water, and I would go to the 99-cent store and buy $100 worth of canned food, try to make it as nutritious as you can. You may not, you know, if you have a limited budget, you may have to compromise on GMOs or nutrition, but at least you'll have some food. And then I'd get a barrel to put 50 gallons of water in. So at least you have food and water, and maybe buy some toilet paper. And then I would get some gasoline. I would get three containers of metal containers of gasoline so that if there ever was a really worst-case scenario, you'd have enough gas to drive out of Dodge. If I was living in the city, especially in the inner city or where it's really crowded, but maybe the whole city, anywhere, I'd make a backup plan of somebody I knew in a small town or in the country, where you talk to them and talk to them now and make an agreement that if anything happens, can you get out of Dodge and go stay with them until it blows over? You know, when things are all crazy, it's hard to ask things like that. But right now, you can. So just make all those contingency plans. So you have food and water stored. You have gasoline so you can get out of Dodge. And you have someone that you can go where they are. And I think if things happen, I think, I may be wrong, but I think things will be easier in small towns where people all know each other and they'll tend to work as a team to try to figure out what to do. And that in the cities, if things go out of control, then things could get pretty intense. There could be no gas. It could be impossible to leave the city. There could be no food coming in. And there could be people going crazy and rioting and looting, et cetera, et cetera. And you don't want to get stuck in the city if something happens. So, you know,
I want to mention, in addition to the items you mentioned that came through our sources, also to have some cash on hand for initial survival.
Yeah, I would, rather than having cash, I would get some silver dimes.
That's more from the long term, yeah. but for initial survival, I guess, just regular.
Yeah, but you do have to, I mean, depending on how much money you have, the problem is if there's inflation, then the cash may end up being worthless. Might, you know? Because if you have a dollar and something worth 5 cents, the thing about a silver coin is that it will probably retain its value or increase in value because it has intrinsic value over, you know, just a piece of paper that's printed. But, I mean, you have a little bit of cash. And then you have to worry, you know, the best thing is to have a network, have a family, people you're working together with. Because if a worst-case scenario happens, it might be really dangerous to travel, even if you have stuff. Who knows what's going to be on the road? Who knows how much things are going to be enforced? Who knows anything? So, you know, start thinking about it now. And I would say if things start looking bad and you're concerned, I jump in my car first and then think later about it. Because if you don't act fast, then the roads out of the town might be blocked, okay? But thank you for sharing that, yes. Some cash, some silver coins. I say silver instead of gold because silver is small denominations compared to gold, and you might have to just trade stuff as you go. So gold has got too much value, and silver doesn't. But, you know, the thing is, if it's really, really bad and no one has anything, and if it has, you know, the worst case scenario, what did Benjamin Fulford start on this article? He said, will it be chaos or controlled implosion? Chaos or controlled implosion? Controlled implosion, the indication is it won't be so bad. that there will be some attempt at making some kind of transition in the money system, and hopefully they already have a plan. Hopefully they have a plan. They say, if this happens, this is what we're going to implement. But I wouldn't depend that they had have a plan, because there's some indications that the powers to be would like this to happen, unfortunately. And it's 6:55, and okay, there's the topic I didn't want to talk about. I'm glad that we got through it. I hope, you know, take it, put it in the light, integrate it, and don't act like it's going to happen. But create a plan, just like you have an insurance policy. Just like when you pay for auto insurance, you don't necessarily think you're going to have an accident, but you have the insurance just in case. So for a couple hundred dollars, you can have a little insurance of having at least some options for action if the S hits the fan. So we're asking our sources to bless us all. We bless ourselves, create good relationships with our neighbors and our families, and keep your options open, and hope that none of this occurs, not a bit of it, okay? And that in a worst-case scenario, if none of it occurs, then you didn't lose a thing. You have some old canned food in your garage. And if it does occur, it can prolong your life in the physical realm. And for some reason, your life can't preserve. Don't worry about it. It's just a transition. For some of you, it'll be better on the other side than here. Carla said it was. She didn't have her body to contend with. So on that note, I'm going to unmute everybody. We'll call this session to a close. And we'll see you Wednesday with your questions.
All callers are unmuted.
Wonderful, Wynn.
For helping
Very
them.
Good,
Thank
Wynn.
You.
Thank you, Wynn.
Sweet dreams.
Thanks, Wynn.
Hey, Wynn.
Thank you,
Wynn. To everyone.
Thank you.
Thank
Wynn.
You.
Hey, Wynn, have you looked at the Michael Tellinger's Ubuntu cooperation economic ideas?
I did.
Okay.
And I have a couple of people that I know that are trying to work with that, and I'm trying to see. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. But
the moneyless jump, I think, would be a bit much for a lot of people.
You know, it's so hard to implement things like that and getting people cooperating. Okay.
Right.
It is. So.
There's another person, Mary Croft, you might want to look at. She has a website, Spiritual Economics.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know her at all. Interesting.
No. Okay.
Because economic systems are all totally man-made. You can make it any way you want it to. Everything that's going on is deliberate.
Well, you know, one of the things that can happen is there's alternative currencies. Local cities start producing alternative currencies, and they start running...
you know, let me interrupt for you know, all the debt they talk about, these trillions of dollars of debt, it's all man-made.
Yeah.
It's all created out of thin air. And the bankers have all the money. It's not in the economy. There's not enough of money in the economy. That's why people don't have enough money and are poor, because there's not enough money in the economy to the regular people. It's all the bankers stored up, who knows what they're doing with it. But
it's
all man-made. It's a bunch of baloney, the whole thing.
I got the perfect song to end this class. Here we go.
Money by Pink Floyd.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thanks.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Wynn.